Facebook Global Markets Director Randy Zuckerberg has announced that Facebook plans to sell the personal information of its 150 members to implement the new market research tool, Engagement Ads. This is a polling system that targets individual users by their personal information, such as their marital status, including whether they're gay or straight. Here to discuss what this means is Curtin University Lecturer in Internet Studies, Dr. Tama Lever. Good morning to you, Dr. Lever.
Morning, Jamie.
How are you going?
Not bad, thanks.
So Facebook will soon allow companies to target its members for market research. Is this what's actually going on? Because it's been reported that maybe people were a bit misled by what's been said in the media.
Yeah, I think what the reports focused on is the fact that, yes, indeed, of course, Facebook is trying to use its massive database of information to try and engage advertisers and marketers in new ways. I think what was demonstrated the other day, though, at the World Economic Forum was a tool, a polling tool, which allowed businesses to specify exactly who they want to ask questions of. And I think people read into that individual information will be sold to businesses, which is not strictly speaking true, because Facebook is still going to act as the intermediary. They're not going to give the names of people, but rather they're going to say, you tell us, okay, say you want to sell something to people in Perth between the ages of 18 and 25 who have listed an interest in particular bands. It's that sort of level of access that Facebook is looking to grant. It's not selling the names of people per se, I think. But so to be fair to them, that it's not quite what was reported. At the same time, that's still a massive amount of information that Facebook has access to as a company and that they're trying to sell, and that we as users are giving away for nothing.
Is this a matter of concern for you on the outset? I mean, I guess bearing in mind that people do put their information on Facebook voluntarily, what do you think of it?
Well, I think, one of the real concerns with social networking sites like Facebook is that people are perhaps a little bit naive when they sign up. They don't really, nobody really reads those sort of massive license agreements that you just click through and hit agree at the end of. But Facebook, for example, does give them permission to use anything that we upload to Facebook pretty much in any way they see fit. Any photos we upload, any information that we post to Facebook is something that that company owns. And so it's not really a surprise that they're using it in this way. I guess the biggest surprise is that more of us don't think carefully about what we do and don't share with what is essentially a multinational company.
And how do you think this will affect your typical Facebook loiterer then?
I think for most people it won't make any difference. I think people have become quite complacent about what they do and don't share on the internet. I think so many of us leave massive digital footprints all over the place that it's not until that information gets collected up and used in a way that will really confront us personally that we tend to worry about it. I think privacy is one of those things that we don't really worry about until it's been obviously violated in front of us. And it'll be interesting to see how far Facebook would need to go for people to actually react.
Are you able to delve a little bit more into how this would actually work? I mean, is it just all information that can be accessed that people have already given to Facebook, or will there be stuff like surveys or questionnaires involved here?
Well, I think the tool that Facebook was demonstrating is a survey tool. So what they're giving to businesses is the ability to ask targeted questions of individuals that they don't, specify the individuals, but they specify in a very narrow way the sort of targeting demographic information. So if you want to say, as I was saying, if you wanted to find Perth people of a particular age, perhaps of a particular sexual leaning, perhaps with a particular interest, that's the sort of information that Facebook could provide. And as soon as someone responds to a survey of that sort, then that would give the advertiser all of the information, presumably, in that person's profile. So once you've confirm that you want to be part of that process, then that's where all of your privacy essentially disappears.
Yeah, and I guess by, even registering, you're in a way answering some sort of survey if you choose to fill in some of the questions and that kind of thing. Is there an argument that because users can select what information can be viewed and that kind of thing, that researchers can already access that information even before all these kind of announcements?
There very much is that argument. Facebook has famously tried a couple of times to use that information commercially and have met with a fairly stern response. There was in 2007 they debuted a service called Beacon, which linked in the online purchasing habits of individuals with their Facebook profiles. Now, this was a service that simply was turned on one day and nobody chose to have it there, and there was quite famous case where a guy bought a diamond ring, I think, off Amazon.com, and it appeared in his Facebook stream that he had just made this purchase, which of course his then girlfriend saw, and it sort of ruined the surprise of an engagement. And it's that level of or that lack of privacy that really did get people's backs up, and that's the only real instance of Facebook backing down quickly and going, oh, we didn't realise people wanted privacy, why are they using Facebook? We better scale that one back. But there are all sorts of other uses that Facebook can quite legally make with the information that we provide.
And I was pretty surprised to hear that Facebook doesn't actually make too much revenue from advertising to begin with. I mean, is this one of the few ways that they can actually turn a buck from, turn a profit?
Well, it is one of those sort of age-old questions with these, you know, these services that have got ridiculously large. I mean, if they really do have 150 million users, that's an incredible infrastructure required for it to work in real time across the globe. And yes, it is reasonable for them to make money off that. But perhaps the problem is that most people signing up don't immediately think about the fact that, yes, of course this is a business, and of course their main reason for existing is not to provide a service to you, but to try and make some money at the end of the day. And I think it's that disjunction between what users think when they're signing up versus what a company creating this platform thinks that is probably the biggest concern.
I'm talking with Curtin University lecturer in Internet Studies, Dr. Tama Lever. Dr. Lever, I mean, do you think there might even be, can there be legal implications with this? I mean, in that people are being exposed to something that maybe they didn't sign up for? Because I know that you mentioned before that there is the licensing agreement and the terms and conditions and that sort of thing. Can you see any legal can of worms opening up anywhere down the line?
Not really. The downside with these end-user license agreements, the big sort of screed of information that we click agree to at the end of the day, is it's a legally binding document. The unfortunate thing is we've got so used to just clicking yes and just ignoring that document that you could write virtually anything in there and it would be accepted by people. There is some suggestion that it is such a broad agreement because we really do sign away rights to anything, any information, any photos, any media that we post. We do give Facebook a permanent license to reuse, you know, until Facebook never exists. And that is a massive waiver, if you like, of our rights. And there is some suggestion that that might be challenged in court one day, but that certainly hasn't been the case yet. And so in that perspective, Facebook has, at least on paper, a right to do whatever the hell they want. The problem is that most of us don't think about that.
Absolutely. Do you think in a more general sense that people reveal too much on Facebook anyway?
I do. And I think perhaps one of the problems is that people sometimes think that because Facebook provides a privacy setting where you can say, I don't want the whole world to see this, this in effect means that it is actually private. What it means is that it's private to other Facebook users, but it's obviously not private from the company itself. And I think that sort of, we don't really understand the tools at our disposal to maintain our own privacy, but I also think people so readily give away so much more information than they really need to. And it is one of those things that might conceivably come back to bite people in the arse in the future. You sort of think about politics in 20 years. There isn't going to be someone, you know, 30, 40 years old running for office who doesn't have a massive sort of digital history online that people can find. And that's really going to radically change the way we think about privacy on a day-to-day basis.
Do you think this will change the overall composition of the Facebook site, though? I mean, in what was probably originally marketed as more of a social networking tool, do you think it's going to be changed in that regard?
I think most people have become quite accepting of a bit of advertising here and there. I mean, you look at Google. Google has advertising embedded on pretty much every service, but it's one of the most popular services in the world. I think people are not automatically put off by advertising. But I do think it would take some fairly extreme uses or misuses of people's information for them to really step up. I mean, it is true that we looked at the migration from something like MySpace to Facebook, which happened over a couple of years, and Facebook is the dominant service. It is possible that will happen with a new service, but with 150 million users, it would take quite a radical shift now for a substantial part of that user base to move over.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Well, Dr. Tama Lever, thank you for joining us on the MAG. I'm sure a lot of people were very curious to see what you had to say about all that.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.
And I'm sure we'll catch up with you again sometime. That was Curtin University lecturer in Internet Studies, Dr. Tama Lever.